In today's world, we seem to be addicted to comfort. We're driven to find a peaceful space without any conflict, disruption, or worse yet, pain and suffering. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his biographical series on the life of Paul. In this study, we'll see the timeless tension that exists between our comfort and our calling. When we're in sync with God's plan and listening to His voice, buckle up. His ways often include uncertainty and detours. Teaching from Acts 13, Chuck titled his message, Released in Order to Obey.
When we set out in our examination of the life and times of Paul, I had not thought of one of the major reasons the man lived with such a clean heart. Part of the reason the man lived so clean before God is because of the constant changes that he accepted. Turn to Acts chapter 13. I love these first four verses because they describe the beginning of a church that was really on fire. Acts 13:1, there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers. They are named for us. You're only familiar with two of them, the first and the last. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who has been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. There's our man. And wouldn't you know it, verse 2, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, okay, hitch up the wagons, westward ho. Sort of a Swindoll paraphrase of what appears here. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. What? While ministering, the Holy Spirit said, time for change. This was God's way of saying to Barnabas and Saul, it's time to move on. It's time to move out while they were ministering. There was no preliminary, there was no warning, there was no message ahead of time. He simply spoke, and Saul and Barnabas listened to the voice, and please observe, set apart for me. I'm going to pause here and say a couple of things about ministry. In ministry, we serve a head whom we cannot see, and we listen to a voice we cannot hear, and we follow a will that we cannot predict. And all the way through, we are subject to change. And we must do it not in the flesh, but in the spirit. But we must do it if we are going to serve the Lord. We must be accountable to the churches that we serve, but in the final analysis, we must not be afraid of anyone. And we must answer to no one, if you know what I mean, in the core of our lives, only our God. Which brings me to the point of application. Let us release gifted men and women, and let us not be reluctant, let us not cling, let us go, let them go wherever it is the Lord is leading them. Let's do that. And the second I would say to those of us who are called to a place we would not have expected, let us not be afraid of the changes and let's not be afraid of the new adventures. That is what gives credence, that's what gives significance to the minister of God, to know that he or she is available and willing and will take the risk. Then risk. I'm right in the midst of reading for the second time John Eldridge's latest book, Wild at Heart. It's a book for men. It's about men. It gets at the soul of man. And in one of the chapters, he begins this way, and I smile because I have been right there where he describes it. There is a river that winds its way through southern Oregon, running down from the Cascades to the coast, which also has wound its way through my childhood, carving a path in the canyons of my memory. As a young boy, I spent many summer days on the Rogue, fishing and swimming and picking blackberries. I loved the name given to the river by French trappers, the River Scoundrel. It gave a mischievous benediction to my adventures there. I was a rogue on the Rogue. Those golden days of boyhood are some of my most cherished memories. And so last summer, I took Stacy and the boys there to share with them a river and a season from my own life. There is a rock that juts out over that river somewhere between Morrison's Lodge and the Foster Bar. The canyon narrows there and the rogue deepens and pauses for a moment in its rush to the sea. High rock walls rise on either side, and on the north, the side only boaters can reach, is Jumping Rock. Cliff jumping is one of our family favorites, especially when it's hot and dry, and the jump is high enough so that it takes your breath away as you plunge beneath the warmer water at the top down to where it's dark and cold, so cold it sends you gasping back for the surface and the sun. Jumping Rock is perched above the river at about the height of a two-story house plus some, tall enough that you can slowly count to five before you hit the water. It's barely a two count from the high dive at your local pool. There is a faculty built into the human brain that makes every cliff seem twice the height when you're looking down from the top, and everything in you says, don't even think about it. So you don't think about it, you just hurl yourself off out into the middle of the canyon. I've done that, and it's so great. When our older son graduated from high school, it was one of my gifts to him is to go shoot the rapids with some friends at the Rogue, and we did that, and we jumped off this very rock. It was just great. Anyway, and then he says, and then you free fall for what feels like enough time to recite the Gettysburg Address. Isn't that a great line? 4 score and 7 years old, all the fathers. And all of your senses are on maximum alert as you plunge into the cold water down below. After that first jump, you have to do it again, partly because you can't believe you did it the first time, and partly because the fear has given way to the thrill of such freedom. We let the sun heat us up, and again, we go back up, and it's bombs away. Then he says, I want to live my whole life like that. I want to love with much more abandon and stop waiting for others to love me first. I want to hurl myself into a creative work worthy of God. Life is not a problem to be solved. It is an adventure to be lived. That's the nature of it and has been since the beginning when God set the dangerous stage for this high-stakes drama and called the whole wild enterprise good. Don't be afraid. You're called of God. You're led of God. Do it. Don't wait for all the answers, all the ducks to get in a row. If you do, there's no faith at all involved. Every individual who's hearing me right now who has known the pleasure of creative work will tell you there's always a risk in it. And that's what drives us on, on, on. There's a word for those who take all the risk out. Boring. Saul and Barnabas, go. Verse 3, I love it. Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. You know, I commend that young congregation. It's downright incredible. No questions asked, no spirit of suspicion, no selfish clinging. They fasted, they prayed, and they let them go. I have left ministries when there was nothing wrong. There was everything right. But there were always a few who didn't want to believe that. Because the only reason you leave a ministry where things are going well is because there's something wrong. There's something really bad wrong. So I would have some people say to me in this particular situation, hey, Chuck, psst, come here. Hey, what's really wrong? I said, nothing. I'm being led. I'm supposed to go to Dallas and be a part of the leadership of Dallas. No. I mean here. What's going on? And I would go, nothing. Man, I just couldn't believe it. Why? Because we are by nature suspicious. And because we are ill-informed, we jump to conclusions and exaggerate. Not good theology. In fact, it's not even good practice. Nobody questioned it. However it was, the Spirit of God spoke, and to whomever it was, they sent them away. And don't you love it, verse 4, so being sent out by the elders. Doesn't say that. So being sent out because of the pressure. Doesn't say that. Being sent out because of the politics. No, being sent out because there was a larger place with a lot better salary. No. It says, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. From there they sailed to Cyprus. And guess what? All hell broke loose. And they were right in the middle of the Father's will. This first journey was enough to make young John Mark turn around before they ever got beyond the shores of Pamphylia. They went to Cyprus, and he stayed with them through the island. They sailed north and went to Pamphylia. They were on their way up to get into Cilicia, Lystra, Derbe. I'm out of here. So John Mark bails, so they're deserted by John. And on top of that, when they get to Lystra, they're stoned. Paul is stoned and left for dead. In the center of the Father's will, which is a message in itself, that when the Lord leads, it does not mean that everything is hunky-dory. That from now on, oh man, this is a downhill slide. Now that we've really gotten the center of his will. No, it may mean some of the hardest years of your life. When it seems as though nothing is working right. Time's up. Let me apply this. I'm going to apply it in four areas. And I want to do it first with a couple of negatives and then a couple of positives. The first negative, do not remove any possibility. And I'm talking to every one of you, and I have no one of you in mind, okay? I'm not trying to get rid of anybody. I'm just trying to get you ready in case it's the Father's plan. Do not remove any possibility. Stay open to whatever it is God may have for you. Who back then would have ever guessed that he would have handpicked Barnabas and Saul? I would have chosen Lucius and Manaen. I mean, who's going to miss them? But, you know, the Lord has a way of picking the very one that you wish would be there forever. Hey, don't remove any possibility. You may be the next Barnabas or Saul. And that's not only good, it's great. Because the Lord's doing it. This is about him, remember. It isn't about being comfortable. It's about change. Changing so that we stay obedient. Here's a second negative. Do not allow a lot of activity to dull your sensitivity. It's while they were ministering, the Lord spoke. Do not allow a lot of activity to dull your sensitivity. You'd be so busy in a church, you can't even figure out what the Lord's saying to you while you're all involved in so many things. Be sure you're still meeting with him. Be sure you take time for the still small voice. And when he speaks, don't cling, don't hold back. Which brings me to the positive. Let God be God. Let God be God. His moves are always selective. He picked two and he left three. That's his right. He could have picked all five or none of the five or one of the five. It was his sovereign right to do as he wished, and it's easy to be selfish. It's also easy to feel guilty if you're not one of the two, isn't it? Man, he's going to get to go do that. Great. Wonder if I'm where I ought to be. Wonder if he knows I'm here. And by the way, don't assume that you really know anything beyond this moment. Cynthia and I are building a home here in Frisco, and I said to somebody the other day, you know what, this is our last place before death. Then it dawned on me, that's a tomb. The last place before death. That's a grave. Who says it's a last place? He's the potter. I'm the clay. He's molding and making it like he wants it to be. It's not like I want it to be. If it were, I'd give him some instructions. But don't push there. Don't make me look like a vase. Good night. I want to be a David statue. I don't want to be a vase. Hey, you know what? Let him be God. He's very able. He's very capable of taking you wherever he wants you and doing with you whatever he wants to do. Isn't this a great relaxing thing to hear? Just let it be. For God's sake, let it be. Here's the fourth one. Be ready to say yes. Be ready to say yes. Again, don't wait till all the details are ironed out. Don't fear the unknown. Don't rethink the things. There may be some hardship. Don't try to get... If he is leading, go. If he's not, stay. Without any guilt. You have a friend that's going to go to the bush in Africa? Let him go. That's where they're called. Suddenly you start feeling guilty because you're not in the bush in Africa. What kind of theology is that? Is he calling everybody to the bush in Africa? They couldn't hold all of us over there. If we all think of the mess we'd make because most of them wouldn't be called to go there. Relax. Remember Hebrews 11, 8. Abram went out not knowing where he was going. Is that great or what? Okay, Sarah, pack up. Abram's 75, she's 65. They pack up, they get on the camels, they got all their stuff. They got all these years of marriage piled up on this. They got 1,800 camels loaded with all their stuff from all those years of marriage. They don't have any kids. And their friend says, hey, you're going. Huh? He said, yeah. I said, where are you going, Abram? I don't know. Well, no, I mean, you're packing. What's your, I don't know. Well, what does the map look like? Well, it's blank. He went out not knowing where he was going. That's okay. You know why he could do it? Because God said go. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And isn't it great that he did it? You say, well, that's Old Testament. How about Acts 20, verse 22? Paul said, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. Well, of course he didn't know. Somebody, a friend of mine, says, if he'd have known it, he'd never gone. I mean, that kind of stuff that happened to him in Jerusalem is incredible. Led to his final beheading. That's fine. The trials. But you know what? He did his best work the later years of his life. He went out not knowing what would happen to him there. So we're back where we started. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart. May I be like you. You're the potter, I am the clay. Pause and let it happen here. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. I'm so glad we came here. I'm so glad we sensed his direction in our lives. I'm so glad we're a part of this. I feel so honored. I didn't want to do this. Most of the good things that happened to me, I didn't want to do them. I really didn't want to do them. I'm so glad I did them. So every day it's like I hold it all loosely. I had to remind myself of that this past week. My plan is not that important. I thought it was what it was all about. My dreams, most of them are gone. But his plan, it's unfolding before my very eyes. And very little of it is as I thought it would have been 7, 8 years ago. So change my heart, O God. May I be like you. I'd like you to close your eyes and for just a few moments tolerate some of these thoughts that come, maybe like an alien invasion into your comfortable world. I'm not saying he's moving anybody, but for all I know, he's moving dozens of you. in the next few weeks or months. If I had my way, I wouldn't move any of you. But I've had my way enough to know it really doesn't work. Think about the words. Starts with change. Has to do with the heart. It's about being true. Becoming different like God. Change my heart. You are the potter. You're the master. You're the architect. I'm soft clay. I have no form if you don't give it form, and I don't shape myself. You're doing that. So this is what I pray. Oh God, someday we'll get this all put together. And when we do, it will be a wonderful journey. Father, help us in this thing called adjusting to your will. Give us a sense of peace and reassurance. If necessary, break our hearts and break our wills in the process so that the clay becomes moldable and soft. And again, useful. Help us to take away all the restrictions and limitations that the world would give us. We're too old, or we've been there too long, or we're too young, or we're inexperienced, or it won't work, or somebody else tried it and it failed. Lord, if you will speak clearly, I want you to know that we're going to obey willingly. And may we do it, Lord, for all the right reasons. Remind us over and over again of these few verses out of Acts 13, where you did a mighty work and then you changed everything. Things changed at Antioch. Things changed for Barnabas and Saul. Things changed for the world at large. Things changed. Because you can't have obedience without change. So release us, our Father, from the trap of predictability and suspicion and hard-heartedness, stubbornness. Bring some that need to come to the cross. And may they find there the peace they've been searching for through Christ. And for others of us, bring us to the journey again that cuts away at our comfort zone and places us right in the nucleus of your best plan. And give us the thrill of adventure, since life is an adventure to be lived, not a problem to be solved. I pray it in the name of the Savior. And all God's people said, amen.
Life is an adventure to be lived, not a problem to be solved. That's one of the underlying themes of today's study in Acts chapter 13. Chuck Swindoll titled his message, Released in Order to Obey. Here at Insight for Living, we're always looking for ways to help you apply what you've heard. It's one thing to hear the truth, and quite another to let the truth change our perspective. We have a collection of resources that will help make that happen. First, I want to point you to an engaging book from Chuck. It's called Life is 10% What Happens to You and 90% How You React. This book will teach you how to find joy no matter what season you're living through. In addition, it comes with a 90-day reflective journal so you can put your biblical mindset into practice. To purchase the Attitudes Bundle, give us a call at 800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/offer.
Hello, my name is Linda. I serve in the marketing department at Insight for Living. In today's world, people are starving for something that'll satisfy their soul. Things like money, relationships, or just peace of mind. At Insight for Living, we're pointing people to the light of the world, the one who leads to lasting satisfaction. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." Will you help us spread this good news far and wide? Your gift will make a difference. By giving a donation, you become a beacon for those who long to walk in the light. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for getting in touch with Insight for Living today. We're living in critical days in our country and around the world. Your gift will be used to reach people here in your community with this program and with the gift of God's grace. To send a donation in the mail, write to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. You can also call us at 800-772-8888 or give a donation online at insight.org/donate. Are you turned off by hypocrisy? I'm Bill Meyer. Chuck Swindoll describes how to keep it real in a disingenuous world, Tuesday on Insight for Living. The preceding message, Released in Order to Obey, was copyrighted in 2001, 2003, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.